And we'll be reading out of Colossians chapter 2. And we'll just go a little bit where we were last week and then go into new stuff. But good, we're going into a new lesson here in the book of Colossians. And Dave keeps them back there because we will be coming in. So, all right. Let's read just a few verses, Colossians chapter 2. And let me just read verses 2 through 4, and then we'll go ahead and pray and get into our lesson here. It says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Today's lesson is on how not to be deceived. How not to be deceived. All right, let's go ahead and pray together. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word, and I pray that we would understand this lesson out of Colossians, and I ask that you would help us with the power of your spirit and with the power of your word to understand and see this clearly and to have everything clarified in our minds and to see how not to be deceived and see whatever else you have for us in this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen. You never meet anybody who thinks they're deceived. You don't meet anybody. Everybody thinks I'm pretty smart, and everybody thinks you're too smart to be deceived. I want you to understand, you can have an IQ of 200 and be deceived. People have been deceived, and they are deceived, and they're just as smart as you are, all over the world, all the time. You can go to the world of Islam and find out that they have the wrong doctrine on Jesus. They're just as smart, just normal people just like you are, but they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. And they're deceived. Now, you'll talk to them, they don't think they're deceived. You can go to people who are underneath the communist regime. They were sure that the communist government was the answer, and then it all crumbled, but while it was there, they were sure that it was the example. That was the same with the fascists under Mussolini and the Nazis under Hitler. That's true with people today all over. We will have somebody in our church this morning. I don't know who they are, but they will believe they can earn their way to heaven by their good works, and they'll be that sincerely. And by the way, I was sincerely deceived for the first 15 years of my life, believing that I could earn my way to heaven with my good deeds. I wasn't trying to be bad. I wasn't stupid. I wasn't dumb. I just didn't know that the devil had deceived me. The devil's very good at deceiving you, and you can be deceived. You know what? You can be dead wrong in what you think about God. You say, no, I'm real smart. I got a really good idea. But you know what? If you don't, that's what the same person who thinks that Satan rules. That's the person who thinks there is no God. They think they have a really good idea and they're really smart. The authority is the Word of God. And even believers, Christians, are warned, be careful, and right here in Colossians, lest you be deceived. And there are very clear things that will keep you from being deceived, but just because you think you're smart, just because you think you have a good idea, does not mean you're right. And when I was a teenager and somebody came to me and they said, are you going to heaven? I said, I think so. And they said, how do you know that? I said, because I'm a good person. They said, well, you can't get to heaven by being a good person. I said, wait a minute. Fortunately, I chose to believe the Bible and admit I was deceived into believing that crazy thing that you can be good enough to get to heaven. And if your good outweighs your bad, you go to heaven. And fortunately, I came out of that deception. Anybody can be deceived. And by the way, he warns believers, you be very careful or you'll be deceived. And the Bible says the devil is going to on purpose send deceivers, and we need to be very careful. And so he tells us how not to be deceived here. And so there's some instructions. Now, there's many things in the Bible on deception. It's a very, very, very important, very key, very often talked about thing about how to not be deceived. And we're not going to go into everything the Bible teaches about not being deceived. But we're going to go into what just it teaches here in Colossians. And, of course, there's so much on it in the Scripture. There's a lot of other things we could teach. But if the Bible is your authority and the Holy Spirit your teacher, you're in pretty good hands. There are a couple things. But there's some things the Bible gives us here in Colossians that will help us, definitely. And so here's some instructions for not being deceived. Number one, have a man of God there. Have a man of God there. In chapter 1, verse 25, it says, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Paul says, God has given me something to give to you, and I'm going to keep you from being deceived. Now, men can deceive you, but understand, I didn't say there needs to be a preacher or a pastor or a teacher. I said there needs to be a man of God. And men of God have always been biblically, doctrinally, what God uses to keep us straight and to keep us from being deceived. It was true way back in Moses' day, and it was true in Isaiah's day, and it was true in Paul's day. All throughout scriptures, God sends men of God. You follow the history of heresy and false doctrine and false teachings, you will find occasionally God will raise up a man of God and bring people back to right doctrine when they're in heresy. And Martin Luther was part of that. God used him to bring a lot of people out of the Catholic Church. So was Huss and Tyndale and Wycliffe and many others that we can name throughout history. They came and they brought people out of deception because God raises men to do that. And a human came to me and said, you can't earn your way to heaven. And that was person was sent from God to show me that I needed to be saved and I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior. God sends that, but especially what he sends is a man of God. And those men of God often pay a great price, but we see Paul said, I'm sent here to keep you from out of deception. He wrote, Paul wrote entire books. For example, the book of Galatians was an entire book trying to take a group of churches out of deception. He says, God has ordained me to keep you out of that. Corinthians is Paul writing to keep them out of bad doctrine and bad practice. And more verses here in verse 28. It says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. We may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 1, For I know that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them that are Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. He says, I need to come to you, and I need to help you, and I want you to help you stay in good doctrine and not be deceived. And so God sends you people in your life, and God sends somebody, and if you have someone who can teach you good doctrine, and there's a man of God in your life, you are blessed. And that's a good thing. Underneath that, we have a blank spot. A good blank protects you from the wolves. And let's read in the book of Acts, chapter 20. And it says in verse 28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and over all the flocks. These are pastors here it's referring to. It's a group of elders. Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flocks. Don't you notice a bunch of things about there? Notice, first of all, as soon as Paul leaves, he says, as soon as I leave, the devil's going to send wolves into the sheep. As soon as I leave. And by the way, that's exactly what happened in all Paul's churches. As soon as Paul left, people came in Galatians, people came in Galatian, people came in Corinth, and people came in and deceived them and wouldn't let them. And then tore down Paul and then they brought in bad doctrine and Paul had to come back and correct it. He said, as soon as I leave, the wolves are going to come in. You understand, he's a shepherd and the shepherds protect you from the wolves. The wolf's not going to come in when there's a strong shepherd there. And by the way, one of the great dangers a church is usually in is when there's no pastor. I find, as a matter of fact, strangely enough, I find this, when I have to go out of town on a missions trip or on vacation, I find there are certain people in the church who are going to get majorly attacked when I'm not around. Just because. And those men of God are there to protect you. And so this blank spot here, a good blank protects you from wolves. A good what? Shepherd. A good shepherd. The Bible says in this passage, wolves are going to creep in among you, so shepherds feed the flock of God and give them good doctrine. The most important thing that happens in a church, the most important thing that happens in a church is not the music, it is not the offering, it is not the greeting time. The most important thing in a church is the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, because we are constantly going to be attacked with deception. And the most important thing you can ever pick in a church, ever, is the good doctrine and good Bible teaching. I remember when I was the first time it happened to me when I was a pastor here, we had a young lady start coming to church and her husband started coming to church after a while, and I remember she went to, somebody else invited her to another church, and she went to another church, and we had no program in those days. We had just 20 people and no nothing. I mean, we didn't have fancy anything, anything. And she said to me, you wouldn't believe the music they have at this church. It's my kind of music. I love it. And I said, listen, You were saved here. You were baptized here. You grew here. I know you went to church before and you didn't get anything out of it. I said, you shouldn't leave the flock that God put you in for music. Oh, and she says, oh, no. She said, I love this so much. I feel so at home. It felt like I'm used to that. I like the music. It made me feel good and everything like that. And she left our church and took her husband. And her husband didn't like the other church. She called me and said, what do you think I should do? She says, my husband doesn't like this church. He likes you and he likes your church, but I like my music. And I said, well, you have a choice. Your husband's serving God or you listen to the music you like to on Sunday morning. I said, is there a question here? But she didn't. And she kept going there. Her husband backslid. Her husband divorced her, ran off. She came back to our church, I don't know, 4 months later. Just disappeared out of nowhere on a Sunday night. Life is a mess now. And by the way, I'm not saying we're the only church to teach the Bible. There's other good churches to teach the Bible. And I'm not saying that at all. But there's a lot of worldly churches out there that aren't going to teach you how to get victory and be transformed. She came back. She sat there. And she came in late. She didn't get to talk to me before the service. She came in late. She sat down and preached the message. Got done preaching the message. She V-lined it to me. She said, I just learned more in that lesson than I learned in the last 4 months at church. And she said, I forgot how much Bible I learned here. And I said, that's awesome. I'm glad you're back. She says, no, I'm not coming back. She says, still love the music there. She says, but I really like your Bible teaching, and I sure learn a lot more. And that's the first time I experienced that. I said, are we really that? Are we really that vain and really that don't care about doctrine that much that you're gonna go and say you just learned more in one sermon you did in the last 4 months? And but you like your music and you keep going there. And I was so stunned at that. It floored me, to be honest with you. I've seen so many things. I don't get shocked very often. I was dumbfounded. It's like, and I just said, are you kidding? And she says, no. She said, and I thought, man, nobody cares really. I mean, nobody, I shouldn't say. A lot of people don't care about the doctrine. I've had in 14 years of pastoring this church and knocking on, pushing 60,000 doors personally, I have had under 5 people ask me what I believe. They just don't care what you believe. They want to know what kind of building you have, what kind of fancy things you have, and all these things. And hey, we got some more fancy things now. We can attract more people. But you know what? If you don't like good Bible preaching, this isn't a place for you. And you'll get fed more. I know this. You'll get fed more here. And if you can say, I get more Bible here, I don't care if you say the pastor's not as handsome or they don't got a fancy building or the air conditioner doesn't work or you don't got a latte stand. I don't care if, I don't, my concern is not that we have all the fancy things that are going to impress you. I know our song leader is not as good as most song leaders. We hope someday we have that. But you know what? As long as I can go away on Sunday and say, I fed the flock of God, then whatever you do, you're going to do. I did my job. That's the biggest thing what we're trying to do as a church. We care about doctrine. A good shepherd protects you from the wolves. You will come and God will speak to a good shepherd and he'll give you what the word of God says, what God laid on his heart, and it'll be what you need. And so it's very important. So that'll keep you from bad doctrine. Number 2, be knit together with solid believers. Be knit together with solid believers. Chapter 2 in Colossians here. And verse 2, it says, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches, of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and the Lord. And verse 5, it says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit. Join and behold in your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So there is a order and there is a unity of Christians. And when they have that, it says they have full assurance of understanding. Now, in a church like ours, on a Sunday, on this morning service, we're going to have people from every kind of background, every level. I mean, there are going to be some unbelievable Christians in here, and there are going to be some people who are going to have rough edges in here. All we'll have everything in between. But as a whole, a good church you're going to go to, and you're going to be around some pretty solid Christians. If you go to church and you look around and say, these people are not very spiritual, then it's not the place to be because they're going to draw you down. You want to be around people who love God. There's just something about coming to a church, and I visit a lot of church in my days. I've been in some churches there, and I thought, I got to be strong to get out of this place as good as I came in. And that's a bad thing. But someplace you go and everybody else, you just, when you're around other good Christians who are striving together to serve Jesus, and maybe not perfect, they're not going to be perfect, but they are trying to do right, you will feel yourself strengthened. And there'll be a unity with those people who have your heart for God. If you've ever gone to a church where you're spiritual and you're the most spiritual and the rest of them don't really care very much, you'll find it very difficult going and frustrating. Because there is a unity that your hearts are knit together serving God. You're arm in arm doing that. And boy, always find that. Be knit together. I like that word knit together, like when you knit material together. You're knit together in love. And the devil likes to divide and conquer a church. He likes to cause splits and gossip and divisions. And we have that. I want to say this. With a church, the church is full of carnal people, of physical, earthly people who have sinful natures. And if the church is not stayed on top of, the church will deteriorate by nature. You understand that? It's kind of like our health. At a certain point, you pass in your health where no matter what you did, you felt good and were skinny. And then at a certain point, you had to work at it to not, well, let's not talk about it. And at a certain point, it's different because you naturally deteriorate at a certain point. The church is full of humans. I want to say this. Without someone saying, I hate to say it, without someone being mean kind of, the church by nature will deteriorate. You will get cliques in church. You will get people who try to pull people into bad doctrine. You will get petty things and gossip. Those things happen. And if you ever wonder, why are you so preaching so hard, Pastor? Because we got to keep straight. And you know what? If you yourself don't keep on yourself, I don't know about you, I have to keep on myself all the time. My worst problem is not anybody else, it's me. And I have to stay on myself all the time and say, you are messing up, man. What are you doing? And you can't go there. You know better than to do that. And Paul said, I keep my body in subjection. And the church has got to stay with unity and love. And I remember somebody coming one time and they said, this is the pettiness of people. I cannot stand greeting time. By the way, guess what kind of person they were? Didn't want to talk to anybody. I can't stand greeting time. It just seems that we're in the spirit of worship. Many, many, many years ago. And I said, man, you know how quick we'll get clicks if we don't have greeting time? It just makes, you got to talk to the people around you. You got to just meet people and get their names. Or at least I could get their name and ask their name and then forget it 10 seconds later. But at least you tried and looked like it. But we've got to have that. We've got to make sure the church stays knit together in a direction with solid believers. And there's a time where there's going to be wolves come into our church and try to deceive people. And that's going to happen in our church. Jesus is going to happen. And we've got to stay right. And we've got to preach the word of God. And we've got to keep in the program of the Bible and lots of Bible and all those things is very important. Next, keep serving with simplicity if you don't want to be deceived. Verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How do you receive him? Well, a good verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 3. It says, but I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. As you receive Jesus, how do you receive Jesus? Anybody remember what Jesus said? Except you receive me as a little child. As a little child. We are supposed to, the same way we receive Christ, we walk in him continually. As ye have received the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in him. one of the things that the devil does to people is he makes Christianity complicated. He makes it some difficult process and some deep doctrines and some difficult way to serve God and some complex set of rules and confusion and doctrine and everything else. The Bible is not complicated. It's deep. The Bible is very deep. But it's not complicated. And you know how you come to Christ? You come very in simplicity and needy, and you say, I need you, Lord. I need you to save me. But you know what? I've been doing this thing for a little while, and you know what I was doing this morning on the way to church? You know what I was doing? I was driving that shuttle this morning. I was saying, Lord, I need you this morning. I am needy still. If I ever get away from being needy and dependent on God, I'm a goner. If I ever get where I think I know what I'm doing well enough, or I don't really need to depend on God and beg God and ask God for help and tell him I can't do without him, the trusting, the simple childlike faith you come to God in for salvation, Lord, I can't save myself, I need you. Well, then you need that after you've been saved 25 years to say, Lord, I can't make it today, I need you. Never get away from the simplicity in Christ. When somebody tries to make Christianity complicated, they're bringing a deception. I found this, and I found it biblically true and experience true and historically true. When someone wants to deceive you, they come to you with questions, not answers, trying to confuse you. By the way, that's what Jehovah's Witnesses do. They never answer a question. They just ask questions to try to confuse you. They never tell you what the Bible says. They just give you confusing questions. And that's the Bible says that all the promises in Christ are yea, verily. They're yes and absolute. These things I've written unto you that you may know, the book of 1 John is full of. And so it's a very simple, stay childlike in your faith and your service. Pure, simple, trusting, honest, etc. And I can't elaborate on this, but when I say this, when you're backsliding, what you're going to find is the devil is making everything very confusing. And I don't understand it, but it'll be confusing. Should I go to church or not go to church? I don't understand. I've never backslidden since I've been saved. I've certainly sinned, but I've never backslidden. But I will every day of my life, every year, every week. There's always somebody backsliding. And whenever they backslide, all of a sudden it's like, well, if I go to church, this might happen, and this might happen. If I do this, this might. And that God is not the author of confusion. The devil is. You know, the Bible's real simple. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. That's the greatest commandment. Second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty simple. Read your Bible, pray, love your neighbor, love God, go to church, live holy. It's not complicated, but when you're getting deceived, everything will seem complicated. You know what you need to do? Go back to simplicity. Okay, I'm confused. You know what, Lord? I'm going to love you. I know somewhere along the way you said go to church. I'm just going to go. I'm going to read a Bible, whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to pray. I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to do the things. And you'll get back to simplicity when you get back to God. Because he makes it. The devil made, I don't know how, but the devil said, did God say you should? God said, don't eat this fruit. And somehow the devil, by the time he got done with her, was very confusing in Genesis 3. Seems real simple. Don't eat this fruit right here. And somehow she's going, you know what? I'm not sure what God said, and maybe I should eat that fruit. The devil is good at that. But serving God's real simple. Just love the Lord. Obey what he says in his word. Love people. It's not hard. But the devil will make it that way, so be careful. That's how deception comes. Next, be blank in Christ. I almost gave the answer. And chapter 2, and verse 7. Rooted and builded up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, and abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. All right, what do you think it means there? Be what in him? Rooted, very good. Be rooted in Christ. So if you are rooted in him, you never move because he never moves. Rooted is like I planted a tree this week in my yard, and it was in a planter, and so I took it out. And one of the things I did is I made sure that it had a lot of little stringy roots going all over, and I made sure those roots went every direction, because the wind comes from different directions and blows trees over. Sometimes you'll find a tree that the roots don't grow every direction; it's susceptible to blowing over that way. The roots go down. And if you're rooted, you get roots that go down into Christ. And here's the thing. If the roots are in Christ, he never moves. If your roots are in Open Door Baptist Church, Open Door Baptist Church might fall someday, might disappear, might change. It might be a terrible church in 20 years. Anything could happen. By the way, a natural disaster could happen, and we could all die. Except for a few people. And you know what? If you're rooted in Christ, you'll survive. But there are people, I know people, we have people in our church who were just rooted in a church or rooted in a man or in a preacher or in a religion. And when that thing fell apart or something bad happened to that, they fell apart. And I want you to know, some people that I loved and looked up to dearly have messed up. But you know what? I'm glad I wasn't rooted in them. And if you're rooted in Christ, you will find out. By the way, there helps, churches and pastors, we already talked about that, but they're not where your roots are. Your roots are in a person named Jesus Christ. You're rooted and built up in Him. He is the vine, you're the branches. Why? You never change doctrine when you're rooted in Christ, because Christ never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Religions come and go, churches come and go, preachers come and go, your family comes and go. And I've seen people who rooted their Christianity was rooted in their mom or their dad. They were such good Christians. And then mom and dad died and they quit serving God. Man, you don't put your root in a person. People die, people change. You put your roots in Jesus Christ. And somebody says, well, you know, I went to a church and they're all full of hypocrites, so I'm not going back to church. Well, you were rooted in church then, because I go to church because God tells me to. Whether church is imperfect or not. I'm not rooted in man. Jesus tells me to go to church. I'm rooted in Him. You get rooted in Christ, you never moved. The doctrine never changes because He never changes and He never moves. Next, let Jesus complete you. Let Jesus complete you. Verse 7, rooted and builded up in Him and established in the faith as you've been taught and abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 10, and you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Let Jesus complete you. The devil has lied to every one of us, and you've been told, and you probably, just like me, have thought this, or even might still think this, that if you just had this, or if this circumstance has changed in your life, you would be happy and complete. Okay? You will never get there. How many people I met who said, as soon as I get married, my life will be just, and I'll be complete. And they got married. And they said, as soon as I get more money, my life will be complete. And as soon as I get a house, then they got a house. And they said, as soon as, you know, the devil keeps on putting that, he's got that carrot tied out in front of you, and you just keep on chasing it. You know what you'll find, and I found people who you would say, boy, they are miserable and hopeless, they have nothing. I mean, third world poverty. And they are as happy as a June bug on the last day of May. I mean, they are happy. And they're just doing great, and you know what? They have a smile on their face, and you would think, man, you don't even have a house. You don't know what you're going to eat your next meal. And you sure, why? Because they're complete in Christ. You will never get complete. You are made with a hole that only Jesus can fill. And you'll find, no matter what your circumstances are, when you get Jesus Christ and get close to Him and are complete in Him, you don't need people's acceptance, you don't need money, you don't need fame or wealth. You find yourself just going, boy, Lord, I am so in bonus land. You gave me a house. I don't even need that. I don't even need a car. I don't need money, Lord. And you gave me all these things. Because everything's bonus once you got Christ. And you can say, no, Pastor, I guarantee you, I would be happy if I just had this one thing. Have you ever said that before? You remember when you're 15 and said, as soon as I turn 16, I'll get my driver's license and I'll be happy. Okay, now you got a driver's license, you're totally happy, never need anything else. Well, no, now I need a better car. Okay, your car you had now, you remember when your car now you would have been happy to have? We always get those things. I just want to move up with my mom and dad. And now you moved out, now you say, man, I wish I didn't have such a junky apartment. Now you got a house. Man, I wish I didn't have this stupid mortgage and all this maintenance in this house. You're complete in Him. You know, one of the things when I'm dealing with single people, the first thing I want to get them to do, this and try to move mountains, is say, before you ever get married, I want you to be content in Christ unmarried. Because you're not going to be happy married if you're not content in Christ. Because you're going to find out you married an imperfect person. And you're going to find out that everything in life you have to work at. And you'll get content. Listen, millionaires and billionaires are discontent too. One of my favorite articles I ever had in my entire life was an article, I read it, it was maybe the late 90s, and it was Medina. And it was the billionaires and their arguments about blocking each other's views with their mansions. It was hilarious. That guy built a tennis court inside my house. Now I can't see the Lake Washington from my swimming pool. And I mean, they were furious at each other. They were griping about each other. And you're thinking, you would think, you know, maybe these people need a trip to the third world or something. You know, I've had this house of 26,000 square feet for 20 years, and now I can't see the boats coming through the channel now. It was riotous, funny. And they were just griping just as much as the people in the hood. It's funny. And you could be completing Christ. Next, let Christ get. First of all, he is what you need. Chapter 2, verse 10. And you're complete in him. Next, he is the complete revelation and blank of God. And there's several verses, chapter 2, verse 3. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 9, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What do you think that word would be? He is a complete revelation and blank of God. A little tricky. Could be knowledge, but it's not what I was thinking there. It's in verse 9. Fullness. He's a complete revelation of fullness of God. If you get Jesus, you get everything you need. You plus Jesus equals a complete you. Next, do not follow the philosophies of man. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. The philosophies of man are the ideas of man and what they think. And man's philosophies are not the ideas of God. Isaiah 55 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Just because it sounds logical and it's the way man thinks does not mean it's God's way. Jesus says, he that loses his life shall find it. He that keeps his life shall lose it. The philosophies of God are not the philosophies of man. So just because it sounds logical to the mankind does not mean it's biblical in God's way. Next, do not be spoiled through the tradition of blank. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through his philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. What do you think that is there? Man. Don't be spoiled by the traditions of men. Just because men always do it this way doesn't mean you have to do that. And the disobedience sometimes we have because that's just what our family does. That's what I've always done. It's silly. And we're rushing here to get done. Do not be arranged to have or to line up with the world. Chapter 2, verse 8. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. The word rudiments means an orderly arrangement or marching together. Remember the old World War II films where they'd march together and their steps would go perfectly in march and step? That's what rudiments are. It's exactly lined up a certain way, the way everybody does these things. And everybody does it this way, and everybody's doing this. A Christian should never make a single decision or idea because everybody's doing it. Everybody dresses this way. Everybody talks this way. Everybody drinks this. Everybody does. Who cares? What does Jesus want you to do? And that's a tradition of rudiments. You don't have to march in line with everybody else. Every style, everybody's doing it. And then, you know how stupid they are, these styles? Listen, you can't find any pictures of me in the 70s. But it was pretty cool at the time. I can't wait. I cannot wait for the 15 years from now when the baggy pants, their brain comes together and they think, I'm wearing pants where I have to walk like this all the time. And my underwear is hanging out. And they look back and say, what was I thinking that was cool? Or the, why did they put 11 spikes in my face? Pin cushions, I didn't know were that happy. And they're going to say, that was really stupid. Just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's intelligent. Okay? Mullets were cool at one point. Okay? And don't ask me if I had one. I deny all knowledge of anything I did before I was saved. And when I had hair and all those things. And God got me back for the stupid things I did with my hair in the 70s and 80s. And don't, just because everybody's doing it, don't arrange yourself with the world. Next, don't put anything in front of Jesus. This is kind of a long passage. And that includes good things like the law. And I can't read all these verses, but let me read verse 18 through 19. Let no man beguile you of your reward in the voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding to the head from which the body and all joints and bands, having nourished, ministereth and knit together, increased in the knowledge of God. And wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinance? Touch not, taste not, handle not. And so it says these are the commandments of men. Don't put anything in front of Jesus. Even the law, people are putting in front of Jesus. So we're going to be very careful about that. Don't put anything in front of Jesus. If you do these things, it'll help you to never be deceived and to walk in truth and live in eternity happy because you stayed faithful to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the chance to teach your word, Lord, and I thank you for the powerful word of God, and thank you for that we can be not deceived and stay in truth. And I pray today we would be helped, and I pray that today we'd have great service to follow and you speak to our hearts. Bless this day and bless this service and help us to stay rooted in you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. We'll be back in